All right, Freedom Fiends, it's your boy Nima, and I'm broadcasting live here from Austin, but we actually have added a new city today. We are also broadcasting from Libertopia, or rather, our good friend Ross is on the line for us in Libertopia. How you doing, man?
Andrew.
Andrew, and we're going to be talking to a bunch of people today, aren't we, Michael? Or not. Can anybody hear anybody?
Yeah, I got
everybody
you.
Here, everybody. Okay, cool. Well, how's Libertopia going?
Fantastic. It's the second one for me, and I think for Drew, and I think it's the third one in history. I think the crowd is bigger than last year, and the weather is great. There was a bit of moisture the first night, but it's fine. It's been nice by the bay right here.
Now, why hold an event called Libertopia that's liberty minded in a place like California? Can you explain to me the understanding behind that?
Yeah, seriously. I think just because it's at a very nice hotel. It's like a Hawaiian style hotel, Humphreys by the Bay, where they have like legit performers here, like Chris Isaac, or real acts that you come and see at this venue. Courtyard style, and the hotel is like $150 a night. So a lot of people that are coming to this event are just here for the day, and they're staying at like a Ramada or whatever. And a lot of people actually just live in the area. So I guess because you're in Southern California, 10 million people, and comparing it to Porkfest, it's a very different crowd. There are a bunch of agorists here, like Jillian from Stateless Sweets and Grimms Phoenix and Don't Try to Meme and Coplock. But there are a lot of academics, a lot of tables with books on them, books and pamphlets. We brought
Ew,
the color. We
bring books.
Yeah, and I'm selling coffee and things like that.
Dude, your coffee looks amazing. Like coffee
thanks.
And silver, yeah. That's like where I want to be. Coffee and silver.
How can coffee look amazing?
I don't know, man.
Pictures of it. Whipped cream. Well, I'm selling the coffee for $2 a cup, and then for an extra buck, you get whipped cream and Ghirardelli on it. So it's the upsell.
Ooh,
for 30 cents for 30 cents a product, I charge you an extra buck.
You should sell Goldschlager type coffee, like with gold flakes in it, people could poo gold.
Yeah, give it up to the San Diego Harbor. Yeah, no, well, so that's why I think that Libertopia, even though it's an expensive festival. If you stay here and do everything here, I think it is appealing to people who are like, maybe the closet millionaires. There's a few, heavy hitters.
Closet millionaires.
Yeah. From okay. So it's California. You got a lot of forward-looking people, forward-looking businessmen. And that's different than Porkfest, which is like, in the woods. Not to say it's grungy, but it's just way open-ended, more of a festival atmosphere. So two different festivals.
So is everyone walking around like open carrying and shooting crocodile?
No, not here. No. And I even, for this Austrian cafe, part of the Silver Dime Card booth where I'm selling the coffee, I was going to sell some like Austrian cigarillo small cigars. And at the last minute, instead of a dollar each, I put complimentary with purchase, just because I didn't want to bring in the California tobacco Nazis in here.
Yeah, man. It's a weird place for a Liberty Festival, but I guess California, they need it the most,
Yeah, well, Jeff Berwick and the Dollar Vigilante crew, they're here. I subscribe to that newsletter. It's mostly about expatriation, getting out of the empire with your money and your self-impact. And, like, he already wrote a blog entry. They tried to go downtown to party, and it was just so uncivilized. Like, it was last call. And I've been out in the Gaslamp District of downtown San Diego, and last call, a bunch of jockey types out on the street, angry, last call, drunk, and they just didn't like the atmosphere. Which, San Diego is, you could call it the conservative part of Southern California, just because of all the military money flowing through this place.
Yeah, were they military people, the ones that were messing with you?
No, not me. I wasn't with his crew. But yeah, it definitely rubs off on the other part of the population. Even if you're not ex-Marine or ex-Navy, you probably like kind of cheer for the home team, so to speak. Uh-huh. A lot of these guys at the bars here. So that's what you're dealing with in San Diego, is it's the so-called conservative part of SoCal. And there's a lot of military money here. Just across from the hotel is Coronado Island, which is a big the most prime real estate in Southern California, and then it's paved over, and Chinook helicopters are taking off and drowning out the speakers here. So that's what's a little bit like bothersome, is that there's these nice houses and nice boats, but I just feel like how much of that is dirty money, you know?
Who have you gotten to hear speak so far? Has anybody blown you away with their brain yet?
I have not been attending the breakout sessions, which that's simply the small room surrounding the courtyard, just because I've been vending. But the main stage where the main speakers are the ones that are the keynotes. And yeah, Doug Casey's been honored this year for Lifetime Achievement Award. And he spoke, and Stefan Molyneux is the MC. He's keeping it light and lively and sarcastic. Doug Casey, his keynote was pretty cool. It was basically about coming to terms that, you know, you're not going to convince everybody. Explain, don't convince. You know, America is not a place, it's an idea. And so he's a globetrotter. He's got the means to do it. So he got a perspective around the world that, you know, it's not just in America people that love freedom. There's a lot of other countries that they instinctively don't trust or really even respect the police or the government. They know it's a gang. And the trouble is, in America, they pledge allegiance to the gang. The rest of the world knows that they live under gangs. So, you know, maybe it's better to live in a place where maybe it's a second or third world country and they know that, no, these guys are legitimate. We just pay them off and they go away.
Yeah, yeah. Was Doug Casey pushing his Argentina property on people, or was he trying to convince people to do that?
Yeah, and I've looked into it. Right off the bat, though, he said, of course, it's, you know, you pay probably $100,000 for a lot and then another $100,000 to build something on it. It's not for everybody. But
That's not even that much more expensive than doing something here in the States. I mean, if you build your own house on a lot, you know, in a more expensive part of the country, that's pretty comparable.
Yeah, and it's on a vineyard, and you get your own personal cut of the bottles of the yield, and then whatever the yield that take, you get sold on the open market, you get a dividend of that. So very cool model.
Nice. And I think anarchistic version of people getting dividends in Alaska, but
yeah.
Nice.
And it's in northern Argentina. It's very hard to get to, but it reminds me of like Sedona. I have not been there. I've seen a lot of pictures. It's the Tuscany of Argentina, and that's what he says too. Is like Argentina is freaking messed up. Cristina de Kirchner is an idiot. There's like so many capital controls every 10 years that it's just laughable. I think it was a PJ O'Rourke quote, not that I'm like a big fan of him, but he said like, thank God you're not getting the government you're paying for. And down there in some of these screwed up countries, yes, they're overtly more socialist, but they don't have the methods to carry it out like they do in the US. So that's something.
And you're right about the people not giving them as much legitimacy as they do here. Like, I feel like people here can't ever break out of the concept that you have to have this group of people doing this, and it doesn't matter how much evil they do, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. He talked about Jeff Berwick and some of these other expatriation guys, they say, you know, go down to some of these millionaire resort places where the millionaires are trying to escape socialism, some of these Galt Gulches, and you know, if you know how to play guitar, some of these millionaires' children want some private guitar lessons. Maybe they want to learn about Austrian economics, teach them, do a Rothbard course, and then live in the village 5 miles down the road on $300 a month. You know, just think about what's a service. What can you sell to some of these people? So that's very inspiring. And then the other parts of the festival, there's a lot of just fine-tuning late-night discussions and stuff. But just like Porkfest is, late-night discussions.
Does Stefan Molyneux partied up with y'all and, you know, knock a few shots back, or what's going on with that?
No, I have not seen him. I've not seen him walking around after sundown. They had a VIP Sovereign Awards banquet, $75 a plate to honor Doug Casey and some of the other guys. We were joking. we were drinking in the courtyard like, oh, we're going to go make a 99% sign and go bang on a window.
Well, Ross, we're going into a commercial here, and we're going to come back and have someone else on. Thank you very much for helping us out there and for coming on the Fiends.
Okay, guys. Check you later.
Bye, man.
Worms.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends.
The Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
We got more from Libertopia for you here.
Yeah, we are live from Libertopia here today, even though we're not there. We're live courtesy of Drew, the Silver Dime Card Guy, and Ross, the Silver Dime Card Guy from Don't Tread on Meme, who make Freedom Fiends dime cards, by the way. So if you're at Libertopia listening to the radio, I'd say, what are you doing listening to the radio, man? You're at Libertopia. So we got a guy
go out
on
there
here.
And buy some Fiends buttons.
Yeah. We got a guy in here right now, Jonathan Logan, who, Jonathan, did you get some Fiends buttons? You're going to get some for doing this interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. He's a buddy of mine. We talked before. He's a computer security expert, and he's speaking there. And Jonathan Logan is the reason that I have a Linux computer now. He talked me into it, and I'm taking baby steps with it, but I have one. It works. I've, you know, set it up to surf the web and check my email. And I actually used it the other day when I was having a problem with my stats, and I was trying to compare the AWSTATS to the actual stats. And to open the gzip file on the actual stats, I had to turn on my Linux computer. So it actually was useful for something other than what I could do on other computers so far. So
you already profited from it.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, it costs $50 for the computer, and it's, you know, runs as fast as my new computers almost with Linux on it.
Right. Yeah, Linux is like the solution for so many issues out there, and it gives you a little bit more freedom and security and flexibility. So it's a good move.
The thing that's funny, though, to me is that, like, you know, the guy who, Richard Stallman, the guy who's probably more responsible for what is commonly called Linux than the guy it's named after, Linus Torvalds, Richard Stallman is an out-and-out, like, leftist, socialist, you know, liberal, and, like, right. He invented this thing that's so, like, libertarian in how it works, but he still thinks governments should, like, enforce goodwill. It's weird.
Right. I mean, he always complains about that because it shouldn't really be called Linux, because Linux is just the kernel, like the core of the operating system.
Yeah, it's GNU
Linux.
And his
project is the GNU, the GNU's not Unix tool chain and all that. And he always complains that everyone is talking about Linux but not about GNU. And yeah, he has an interesting and not so compatible political ideology. But on the other hand, I mean, he's weird enough to be interesting, you know.
Yeah,
so, I do kind of like him, you know. he's cool, but I would give him the keys to my room.
What do you think about his obsession with that calling it GNU instead of Linux? I mean,
instead of letting the free market already decided that what he calls free software, everyone else calls open source, even though open source is something less free. But, you know, there's a free market in words, and he just doesn't want to accept what it has done.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't get that many people are really more into the I want it to work, and I don't want to be forced to share thing, you know.
That is
something, you know. But I understand him, and it's cool, and he can have his opinion. I have a different one that doesn't really matter. I'm an anarchist. I don't have to tell everybody else to live.
Exactly.
Yep. So how's Libertopia? Have you spoken yet at Libertopia?
Yeah, we had our talk yesterday, and it was pretty cool. We have maybe 20, 25, 30 people there. And it didn't work out that well because it was very stuffed. The talk was too much content for the time, so we really flew over the heads of the people, and I'm very sorry for that, and I have to make a public apology for that.
Did you film it for YouTube? Is it going to be publicly available?
No, absolutely
available?
Not. I mean, you know me by now, and no, there's no recording.
Why? Because you're invisible.
Right, exactly. The slides will be online on shadowlife.cc.
What were you trying to accomplish with the talk? Like, what's the kernel of the talk?
We had two talks that belong together, and you'll be talking with Frank later, who had the second talk. And his first talk was about freedom and theory and practice of black market business. So it was talking about informal markets, informal market business analysis, business calculation, and how to stay secure, you know, how to get rid of the police and how to not open yourself up to raids and theft and robbery and stuff like that. And Frank had another talk, and he was talking about digital tradecraft, so essentially how to operate on the black market digitally over the internet.
If somebody
will talk for himself.
If somebody had pulled out a camera and started filming that, would you have stopped them?
Someone did. Someone
did. Stop them?
Yeah, and the first 5 minutes of the talk, you know, the door opened, and a guy came in, you know, and raised his camera, and I said, "Done with the camera, thank you." And he was scared and left, I think. So. But it didn't really matter because I'm wearing a Turek-style turban with my face covered right now. So, you know, it doesn't matter that much.
So did you give a talk in London at the Bitcoin thing? Or did you attend that?
No, I didn't. Okay. I attended. Frank was the one talking in London.
Didn't our friend Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, wasn't he speaking there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But while he was speaking, I had a shit or something.
You had a what?
I was away.
Okay. Yeah, he's getting a lot of attention. I talked him into doing his first interview. He was shy and like, I don't ever want to do interviews. And I talked him into it. And now he's doing like 5 interviews a day for mainstream media. It's kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, I'm really sorry that they took his printer away. You know,
He'll get another one.
Doug Casey. I want to interview Doug Casey. If anybody can find him and get him on here today, I'm going to ask him to buy a printer. He's a libertarian millionaire, so
right.
So
and
tell us,
we should collect
a little more about Libertopia. How is it, and what do you think, and what kind of people are you meeting and conversations you're having and stuff?
Well, I mean, first thing, Libertopia is like the South California freedom. How you call it? Woodstock
festival? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. You have a lot of very interesting people running around here, many with their own projects. And I spend most of the time so far with not attending talks, but just talking to people, you know, random strangers, so to speak, that are becoming comrades. So there's so much going on, so much discussion here, and so much, you know, building friendships and relationships. So, I mean, everyone not here is really missing out.
Well, that's us. We're not there. We're missing
out. Exactly.
You got anything else to say before we get someone else on?
Yes. Next year, you should be here.
Okay. All right, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Jonathan.
See you, man.
Take it easy.
So, here we are live from Libertopia, and Drew is having a fist fight to determine who the next person is on here. How you doing, Nima?
I'm doing good, man. It sounds like
there's some kind of spanking going on there.
They got some aggression going on.
It could be voluntary, you know.
Hello?
Hey. Who's this?
Hi, this is Frank.
Jonathan?
This is
Frank. Frank. Hey, Frank. How you liking Libertopia?
It's pretty cool.
Excellent. So, did you give a talk today about computer security?
Yesterday, actually. Yes, about digital tradecraft and the need for escrow and the counter-economy.
Yeah. Are you one of those people who is not a fan of SSL certificates?
Yeah, kind of.
What do you think could replace those that would be more free and open and not controlled by one place?
Ooh, tough question. Probably some sort of distributed system where you have similar to Web of Trust and PGP.
Can you speak up a little bit? You're really quiet.
I said kind of like a distributed system with a web of trust, similar to PGP or something like the Namecoin system.
Cool. We're going into a commercial here. Do you want to stick around and talk a little bit after?
Sure.
All right. Freedom Fiends, live at Libertopia. How you doing, Nima?
Good, man. We got to go to the break now.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, we should have just left it at that.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
It's the Freedom Fiends, live!
From Libertopia. It's those Libertopia. Darn fiends.
Got it.
And we got Frank Braun on here. Frank Braun is a internationally known computer security expert, Linux, white hat, hacker kind of guy. How you doing there, Frank?
Pretty good, hi.
So what are your impressions on Libertopia? Tell us about Libertopia.
I mean, it's my first time and I liked it a lot. Like mostly anarchists here and a very frantic crowd, interesting talk. So I would highly recommend it.
Frantic, I like that. That's my kind of crowd.
Do you consider yourself an anarchist?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
tell us how what you do as far as furthering digital security can help to further people's own personal freedom and anarchy itself.
I mean, you're probably familiar with agorism and crypto anarchy as a concept. So
yes.
We think that this is a valid, like the most promising approach for more liberty in our lifetime, and so we try to get the tools out into the hands of as many people as possible. And for that reason, we're starting the project ShadowLife.cc this month, where we put on tutorials and theory text and privacy news and teach people who are not IT professionals how to use this stuff and be able to have a career in the counter-economy, so to speak.
What do you think of Silk Road, the concept or the website where you can ideally sell anything you want to anybody else in the world, you know, digital free market, digital agora. What do you think of that?
He probably invented it.
No, I didn't. I mean, would be nice though. I'm not into drugs myself, but I think it's a perfect example how a black market economy works. So they brought together all the technologies which are necessary for that, and I think it's excellent example.
If a government tried to ban Silk Road, like there are some U.S. congressmen who want to do something about this horrible problem. Like, okay, if they passed a law that said, you know, you get a year in prison if you even go on Silk Road and look at it, do you think there'd be a way that most people could get around that without getting caught?
Yeah, if Tor works correctly, and it should, then it's kind of hard to tell who is going on Silk Road.
Ah. Excellent.
But I think that the most likely attack will be the Bitcoin system itself. So the government's tried to crack down on Bitcoin.
Would there be a way to still use Bitcoin if it's cracked down on?
Hopefully, yes.
How?
I mean, they will probably start with attacking the exchanges so that you cannot buy Bitcoin via money, wire transfer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you would have to switch over to over-the-counter exchanges, meaning you meet people like face-to-face and buy Bitcoin for cash.
Yep.
That's what I'm advocating heavily, because I think too many people rely on the current exchanges, and that's a very weak point in the Bitcoin economy.
Yeah.
How would you find somebody to do that? Would that be an above the board thing? Like you have an exchange store somewhere or at like a UPS type of store and you walk in and you hand them a wad of ones, like $20 and they would convert that to Bitcoins? Are you thinking something like that? Or are you thinking, you know, people on Craigslist would say, hey, I can set you up with Bitcoin. Just come to my back alley kind of thing.
No, more people like putting up ads on Craigslist or advertising and specialized website. There are already a couple of them, like localbitcoins.com or bitcoinotc.com. Website like that. You can type in your zip code and then you can find
somebody.
Yes.
Or you find a drug dealer that works out of an alleyway that has a little Android phone and will take Bitcoin on the spot.
I mean, you shouldn't meet up in a back alley. It's probably better to meet up in a public place like a Starbucks or something.
Well, you could maybe if Starbucks started taking Bitcoin, what you do is you'd go in and you'd sit down with your drug dealer and buy him like 80 cups of coffee for your weed. I don't know if I'd want to deal with a drug dealer that's had 80 cups of coffee, though. It might be dangerous.
Yeah, you buy him a French press and a nice mug or
yeah. I got a question. I got a weird computer question for you here. I found this site called MacMiniVault.com that does co-location hosting. And what you do is you buy a Mac Mini, one of those little computers, and then you install Linux on it and put all of your data on it, and you mail it to them. And then they co-locate it in racks. What do you think of the Mac Mini running Linux as a server?
I mean, maybe for small projects, but other than that, I would rather go with like standard server hardware instead of a Mac Mini. It's already built for running 24/7.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like, I mean, I would think they'd fall apart. I mean, to me, the Mac stuff is all, you know, sexy instead of good. You know, Richard Stallman said that Steve Jobs made jail cool.
Yeah, he's probably right on this.
Yep. Well, cool. You got anything else to add here before we get someone else on?
Yeah, just maybe that I think it's really important to consider that privacy is necessary for liberty and that it's not granted, but you have to take it yourself. So that's why I became a privacy extremist and wear a mask in public.
Yeah. Well, hit me up on Pigeon sometime and we'll get you on the Anarchy Gumbo podcast and do an hour with you sometime.
Sure.
Cool, like man.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
I hand you over to the next one, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Who's up next here at Libertopia Live on the Street? Let's have a woman. We have a woman on the street or is it going to be all man on the street?
Is there a woman he's asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a Freedom Fiend Sausage Fest going on here.
I know.
Oh, yeah. So was it Jennifer? Jen from Cop Block is going to be here later.
Okay. That sounds
C-O-P,
like a,
yeah.
That sounds like a girl's name. Put her on. Is she there?
No. Where is she later. Anyway? Yeah, she's going to be here later. Right?
Where's Jillian? Yeah. Is Jillian there? Jillian's handing out Fiend sticker buttons.
Jillian. You seen Jillian? Oh, yeah, she'll be up here later.
Who's this? Ross?
Is this Jeff?
Jeff.
Hi.
You going to talk, Jeff?
Yeah. Am I live?
Yeah. What's your last name, Jeff?
Lim. L-I-M.
L-I-M. All right. How do you like, what are you doing there? Are you a participant? What are you doing there? Are you speaking or hanging out or
I'm
what?
I'm not speaking. This is my first time going to a libertarian gathering. I'm here.
Good.
No, I'm technically here.
We actually are more interested in talking with someone who's at their first Liberty Fest that isn't a speaker than we are with all these rock stars. Because I want to hear man on the street. I mean, I actually told them that when picking people out. So what do you do and how'd you end up there and what do you think of it?
So I came here because of a referral from some friends on Facebook, none of whom are actually here. But
where do you live?
Can San I ask? Francisco.
Are you from MIT? Is that Jeffrey?
Yes.
Okay. I'm adding you as a friend on Facebook right now.
Oh, nice. How are you finding out this information? Are you looking at some database? And
Yeah, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help
you. Yeah, it's your voice. Oh, yeah. We've got an algorithm that defines it by your voice.
Well, that seagull that just went by is actually a robot drone with a camera, so we facial recognized you.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm here to, you know, meet some people interested in and you know, taking business into the peer-to-peer realm. I mean, that's sort of what I'm interested in. I'm here in California for a couple of years in order to try some entrepreneurship. And you know, I've never been to a freedom-oriented event before. I thought, like, you know, here I meet some people who are not just interested in solely entrepreneurship for its own sake, but entrepreneurship for the sake of, you know, of promoting individual autonomy.
Well, I'm really curious and interested in that too. We actually have some commerce to do here.
We're going
to
keep you around.
Do you want to hang out with us? Yeah, go ahead and hang out with us during the break, and we'll have you back on after that.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Freedom Fiends live from Libertopia with the Don't Tread on Meme cats pulling people in off the street and putting them on the air. Yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are we live, Nima? We live from Libertopia.
We're totally live, man.
We're talking to Jeff Lim here. Jeff Lim is at Libertopia in San Diego. How are you liking it, man?
It's very interesting. Lots of interesting people, lots of new ideas, which it's going to take a while to come to grips with. But,
so is Liberty a new idea to you? Where are you at politically?
I've been involved in online Liberty communities for a while now. It was really since the 2007-08 financial crisis when I really got interested in this stuff. So, I mean, it's not a new thing to me. What's new to me is the idea of actually physically meeting people, you know. like, for the longest time, it's just been some troll on the internet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, seeing these people face-to-face, it's a lot more dynamic than you can get from any online forum.
Well, you can actually get some in-person, actual, physical Freedom Fiends buttons for free. The guys who handed you the headset have buttons of our podcast, and they'll give you a set of them for free. It's your right. parting gift when you're done on here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So talk about this web of trust idea, business idea that you are developing.
Yeah. So I'm working on a website. It's called Endorster. You can go there at www.endorster.net.
Wait, you still say endorser? I mean, www?
Dot endorser. Think I should say triple dub or double?
No, nobody says nobody says that anymore. Nobody says triple dub.
I kind of like triple dub. I don't know. It's catchy.
Endorser.net, E-N-D-O-R-S-E-R dot net.
T-E-R.
E-N-D-O-R-S-T-E-R, right?
Endorser. Okay.
Yes. So I just started this a few months ago. And the goal is to get the individual to take back control of their online reputation. So right now, whenever you're trying to do some peer-to-peer business, you either have to simply, take a stab in the dark and trust that the person that you're working with isn't some sort of, sketchy Craigslist killer on the one hand or government sting agent on the other. But this is, trying to enable you to get reviews from people that you know, people that you've couch surfed or shared cars or any sorts of peer-to-peer business, anything you've done with
people
them.
To vouch for you, basically.
Yes, that's correct. So it's based on the idea of a web of trust. Now, it's not like I am in the business of vetting you. It's that you are in the business of vetting the people in your network. And then this way you can hold people accountable to a certain extent for the things that they do and increase your flexibility in being able to engage in all sorts of peer-to-peer businesses, all
and this would be
online
identity. And this would be confirmed that the person is who they say they are with some kind of double key encryption or signature.
So that's an idea that's down the pipeline. So right now I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. A lot of the people in the sharing economy business, you know, like couchsurfing.org and ride sharing and those sorts of things, it's not really heavy into the whole like strong crypto crowd. I mean, I do have some ideas in the back burner for taking this into like a Bitcoin like server, so our service, so that nobody has to trust me at all. But for now, I'm just trying to keep it simple. So there's no online, there's no encryption involved.
Well, I'll drop an idea on you can have that we've been discussing. We're not really, we're not programmers or anything, but we're very interested in crypto anarchism. We've talked on the Freedom Fiends before about, like for instance, like how copyrights, patents, and trademarks, you know, we're totally anti-IP. The only IP I kind of believe in is trademarks, but I don't think it should be enforced by government. Yeah. I think there's a way that you could, you know, you could have your Rolex watch and prove that it's a Rolex watch and not from, you know, not a copy by having some sort of trust signature with some company like yours verifying it. Right. You know, so you just like wave your Android phone over it and read the little you know QR code on it or something, you know, or a three-dimensional holographic one that couldn't easily be replicated, and you'd know it's a real Rolex, or you'd know, you know, this record actually came from this person. If you're interested in buying the MP3 from the person and not buying it, you know, copied from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, so that's another application that when you're buying physical goods from someone, you need to trust them, at least to the extent that you don't know exactly what those goods are until they arrive, you know. So all the sort of information asymmetry problems are things I'm hoping to address. But it's interesting that you should say, you know, in verifying your identity, because, you know, it's one of the sort of uses to which Facebook and LinkedIn and sorts of things are sort of forced into having to serve this role of verifying your identity. But that's not really what they're for. You could create a fake Facebook account. You could do whatever you want. So it's just another future thing that you know is going to come down the line, is to verify your identity without linking it to your actual identity, if that makes any sense.
So it'd be anonymous. Like, say, I don't even want to use the example of a prostitute. Well, let's say prostitute in a country where prostitution's legal. You know, a prostitute who delivers a good service, people like what she does, but she doesn't want her name and address findable because there might be someone stalking her.
Right.
She has
a nom de poon.
So a nom de poon. So would your system allow for being anonymous yet verifiable?
Yes, that's it's very much at the core of what I'm doing, that I don't ask for anyone's email address or Facebook account. And I mean, you can create a million accounts. Well, don't create a million accounts, so they don't have the service space for that, but you can create as many accounts as you want, or as many names as you want, and it's up to you to manage which names you use for which purposes. So I believe some of the people that you just talked to earlier, the masked vigilantes.
I know who they really are, but go on.
Well, you'll have to watch out. But
I'm in their circle of trust, and we verified with voices over Pigeon, and we know, you know, that's how we did it. But that's not distributable.
Well, basically, what it would be verifying is that the online identity, whatever it is, whether or not it's tied to a real identity or not, that it's trustworthy.
Right. And so you could be that prostitute, and you could get the reviews, and no one would know what those reviews are for, but they just know.
And
that,
then you could have a second identity as a babysitter on Saturday nights.
And I mean, fundamentally, it's the same thing. You know, fundamentally, it's about being honest and trustworthy, and whatever context you're in, and having that information makes it that much easier to do business.
What I worry about and what I wonder, though, is because we were thinking about this, I think when we were discussing Silk Road, actually, is what about somebody who was, you know, an undercover cop or some kind of state functionary who decided to do something like this and was really good for a while? You know, like they accumulated like deep cover,
and then started selling feedback, and then started selling poison as drugs or something, or arresting people.
Arresting people.
How could you stop that with your system? How could you prevent that?
So, I mean, like, you know, fundamentally, it's not an easy problem to solve. It's like, you can always, if you're willing to invest millions and billions of dollars into building a reputation in order to get one drug dealer, then you know, all the power to you.
But, and they are, because it's not their money, you know?
Yeah, it's not their money.
They steal
they
it.
Care.
But, I mean, in comparison to the way that it exists, this my service would at least allow people to to have a little more trust than exists now. Like on the Silk Road, not that I know this, but on the Silk Road now, the only way you can know that someone's not a government agent, or the only way you can even suspect that they're not an agent, is that they have a long record of doing drugs or whatever. But all that depends on the Silk Road. And if you want to become a new person, then it's really hard to establish that. So for me, at least, my service allows you to take your reputation from one context and bring it into another in order to help, you know, make it easier for you to start anew and start building your reputation there. So, I mean, yeah, it doesn't solve the problem. It lowers the barriers to entry in a lot of services, mm-hmm. though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Is it functional now? Like, can we start using it? I'm on the website. It says sign up. Like,
it works. Like, there aren't a whole lot of features yet. It just launched a little while ago. And you can poke around with it. And if you have any questions or feedback, you can email me at info@endorser.net.
How do you spell endorser?
Endorser.
ENDORSTER.net.
Yeah.
ENDORSTER.
T-E-R. Yeah. I think you're missing the T, Michael.
I have it in there, and it's saying Heroku, no such app.
Yeah. You want me to send you a link?
Yeah, send me a link.
Yeah, that's why you need the www. This is what you get for using free services.
I see it. Okay.
You got it now? Okay.
Well, you should sign up for HostGator then and use our affiliate link, because they're doing great. HostGator. We're having no problems with them, and they're 24/7 available, and they're cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Go to freedomfiends.com, and there's a link over on the right. Well, it's been really good having you on here. And
good stuff.
Jeff Lim.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Worms.
All right. Peace. Yeah.
Go get your free Freedom Fiends buttons from the guys that handed you the mic.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Bye.
Live from Libertopia.
That's such a good idea, and it's...
Is that fun?
Hang on, y'all. We're still on here.
I'm hanging.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yo, Freedom Fiends.
Yo, Freedom Fiends. Live from Libertopia.
Nima, where are you? Nima, where are you physically located right now?
Physically, I'm in Austin, Texas.
I am physically
in my windowless studio.
In your windowless bunker media man cave. I'm in Casper, Wyoming. I call it my windowless bunker, but it's actually got a window. I did a blog post with a nice panoramic view and an explanation of how to do nice panoramic photos on the Freedom Fiends blog. And but we are virtually, not literally, but virtually. At Libertopia in San Diego by the beach, watching pigeons poo on the money lith. And we got our first woman on the street interview. We've been doing all these Sausage Fest man on the street interviews here, but we got a lady here. It's George Sand from Cop Block.
George.
Yes. How you doing there,
Hello.
George?
But she's still got a man's name.
I'm doing great. Yes, I do still have a man's name. It's kind of cheating, but.
Cop Block, man. We love Cop Block.
Yeah, I'm a writer for Cop Block. I'm here at Humphrey's Half Moon Inn and Suites in San Diego. I can see the sailboats in the water from the hotel window. It's a beautiful day.
Tell us about your nom de plume. Why George? Why George Sand?
You know, it was pretty random. You know, I'm not a particular fan of George Sand or anything. I just thought it was a cool name. My friend's pen name is actually Currer Bell, which is one of the Bronte sisters. Pen name, and I thought, hey, I'll take on a pen name as well. And George Sand is just kind of a cool historical figure, and she dated Chopin, so I'm a huge fan of Chopin, so I thought she was kind of badass that way. I mean, she was kind of, I think she was a socialist, unfortunately, but for her day, she was kind of a badass because women weren't allowed to write, and so she published under a man's name, and just kind of a cool character overall, but that's about it.
You're one of the main writers at Cop Block, right? And longest running, one of the long running ones, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of one of the longer running ones. I remember
OG.
When I first saw
an original,
OG.
an original George. Yeah,
Yeah, original George. I remember I saw when CopBlock was first started by Ademo, he put out a tweet, and I was like, wow, this organization has a really cool name. So I reached out to him, I sent him a couple of links to my articles, and I said, hey, I'm kind of writing about police brutality as well, check me out. And he said, you know, I'm just getting CopBlock started, it would be great to have a few writers on board. And so that's when I started, and I think early 2010.
Ademo's out of prison now, or jail now, right? This week?
He sure is. He got out on Thursday, which is when Libertopia kicked off, and we were all really, really happy to hear that.
Is he there?
He is not here. I'm sure he's busy doing Liberty
blocking
things
cops.
As usual. But
blocking
right,
cops
right.
And getting his freak on. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, there's another organization called Cop Watch. And they're the lefty ones, and the anarcho-capitalist one is Cop Block. We like that because it's more forceful.
Right, and you know, Cop Watch, they get annoyed with us a lot. We have a couple, you know, I know about recently, but at least when we first started, we had a few trolls from Cop Watch who would, you know, look at our Facebook page every day and call us copycats and not the real thing. And
copycats.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they want to have a monopoly. That sounds very leftist to me.
Right,
very statist. And
in
they
fact,
want
they
like
even,
they want like fix the cops, whereas CopBlock just thinks we don't need them, right?
Yeah, right, yeah, absolutely. That's
yeah,
that's
with,
probably
with
the main
watch,
difference.
Who watches the watchers, right? They probably just want layers and layers of people.
You can't
to,
you can't
more
fix
more
the cops, man. I mean, think about the Rodney King thing. The Rodney King thing was the first like real CopBlock, CopWatch kind of thing before those organizations existed, and it made international news, and the LAPD are more corrupt than ever. You know, it didn't fix anything. It got a couple cops, you know, slapped on the hand, and that's it.
I mean, the whole system is set up to favor cops. So, you know, they have various degrees of immunity, and, you know, their lives are treated as more important than ours. For instance, you know, you assault me, you just, that's regular assault. You assault a police officer, that's assault slash battery on a police officer, which carries a heavier sentence. And certainly if you kill me, same thing. You killed me, whatever. That's homicide. But
officer safety is primary. They,
and if
they are
cop,
the anointed
right.
class.
If a cop assaults you, he gets a paid vacation. So,
he still gets paid.
How's Libertopia?
Oh, Libertopia has been fantastic. We've all had a really good time. It's just been a great weekend, and it flew by so fast. I mean, you know, it started Thursday, and it's now Sunday, but I feel like it went by in a blink of an eye.
Is there a bunch of private security instead of cops, or are there San Diego police patrolling the perimeters?
You know, actually, I haven't wandered outside of the perimeter too much since I've been here, but there have been no cops on the grounds. Last year, there a couple cops walked through, and they stopped by and picked up a card from the cop block table last year, actually.
They're bigger trolls. Yeah, the police one are the real trolls on cop block, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, my gosh.
The cops are great.
I cannot stand those guys.
Website. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no cops there, so it must be chaos and people being murdered, raped, assaulted nonstop, and there
How
must be children.
How many baby rapes have you seen?
And there must be children working in coal mines, and grandma can't get her medicine, right?
Oh yeah, it's total anarchy here. You know, without the cops, I am personally witnessing the downfall of society. Everything's just falling apart. No, but it's been great.
Is someone drinking mead from Stefan Molyneux's skull yet? Vikings
Stefan used karate to defend himself from the attack.
No, that would mean he had a bad childhood.
I wasn't aware Stefan knew karate.
Stefan hates karate. Stefan, we love,
I don't know if he hates karate.
We love everything he does except when he talks about people's what they do. He basically said, I took him to task for saying that if you're into BDSM, it means you had a bad childhood. And then I was the only person who complained because, you know, it doesn't have the installed base of people that will defend it publicly the way that, you know, other things do. But then he went after karate and said, if you practice martial arts, you had a bad childhood. And he got hundreds of people criticizing him.
Oh, really? Wait, so that's, you're saying that's his theory?
His theory.
He said it. We were just
not my theory.
For it.
Yeah, we're just.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
So, is the reason cop blockers go by pen names to prevent some sort of retaliation from the cops as far as, you know, harassment?
You know, I'm sure that is a concern. On the other hand, there aren't that many cops that, you know, we have police one that trolls us, obviously, but I don't feel like.
But you're not on the SPLC watch list yet.
I don't know what that is, but I sure hope
you're
not.
You're nobody until you're on the SPLC watch list. You will be on the SPLC watch list because you guys are somebody.
Oh, great.
That's the Southern Poverty Law Center, which started about 20 years ago as, you know, they were amassing a database publicly of, you know, violent neo-Nazi groups. And then they expanded it to constitutionalists, libertarians, peaceful gun owners, etc.
You're freaking kidding me. Wow.
Nope. That's and Henry Rollins donates a lot of money to them, which is interesting. Well, I don't want to bring you into all our beefs here. Tell us more good about Libertopia.
Yeah, there you go.
Nima, turn up a little
really
bit, Nima.
Weekend.
Okay, I think I'll just get closer to the mic. Sorry. Yeah, go on.
Sorry, George.
Libertopia.
George. Oh, no problem. No, just been as good as it was last year, a really good time. People are just drinking, socializing, learning a lot. I've been manning the cop block booth pretty much the whole weekend, so I didn't go to as many of the little lectures they have in the rooms as I would have liked to. But other people have, and just a great variety of people here. Everybody's having a good time.
Has the cop block booth been pretty popular there? I know my little brother loves cop block, and we went down to 6th Street the other month when he was
down in Austin visiting.
And down in Austin where all the bars are. And he was showing everybody his shirt saying, hey, check out cop block. And he was showing it to the cops like, hey, you guys suck. You know, I don't think he said that. But he was saying, right, you know, you guys should check out this website. It's really cool. Has the booth there at Libertopia, a lot of traffic or what?
Yeah, we've gotten a decent amount of traffic, and it's been really encouraging and refreshing to see people who have heard of cop block. So, I mean, last year as well, there were people who were like, oh yeah, I read your website, I know who you guys are. But I feel like this year, even more people, because I always start out the conversation when people walk up, you know, have you heard of copblock.org? And this year, I would say much more people were like, oh yeah, of course I've heard of you, we've read your website. And so that's really encouraging to hear, and really glad we're getting the message out there. So that's very exciting.
Do you want to say hi to Frank Fidati? He's a big fan of cop block.
Yeah, he would be happy about that.
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to.
Just say hi.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Frank Fidati. I'm really glad you read copblock.org. We support. We really, really appreciate your support and readership.
Yeah, and he's written an article for copblock, which when Pete gets back, he said he'd put it on. Well, we're going into a break here. It's been really good having you on here, George Sand from copblock.org.
Thank you for having me.
And you're wearing a gunsandweed.com button, aren't you?
I am wearing one right now.
I can see it. Hold it up to the mic. All right. Here, there we are.
Yeah, I'm holding it up to the mic so you can see.
We can see it with our ears like Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
All right. Thank you for having me. You guys have a great rest of the weekend.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio. Streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. The Freedom Fiends from freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends live. Here we are at Libertopia virtually, and there are actual people here at Libertopia. How you doing today, Nima?
Doing good, man. Awesome. Yeah, I wish I was at Libertopia, but I've got a few beers here. I'm in Austin. It's not so bad. Austin's pretty nice.
They wouldn't let you bring your guns. I want to get the person that runs Libertopia on here, too, but right now we got Ernie Hancock.
Well, are people carrying their guns anyway, man?
Well, let's ask Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix. He's on here, and he claims he's going to talk for 4 minutes. I don't think that's possible to
Yes, I can.
All right. Clock's running. What's up, Ernie?
Well, you know, last year we were carrying our guns openly, but they changed a bunch of the laws then and whatever, and this year we made our point last year. This year, I don't care, whatever. You know, it's in the hotel room. They can come get it. But the I tell you, you know, the thing that's happened at Libertopia, I'm really glad Sky Conway, that is the prime director here, and he has brought together a lot of the old and the new volunteerist movement, and everybody gets to hang and meet with each other, and the presentations, and we all get to see just how – you know, how tight the movement really is. And, you know, as a lot of people coming in new, they'll see it as small. But, you know, for those of us that have been around, it's like we're excited we get a dozen people to show up for something. All of a sudden you get hundreds of people and we're like, woohoo. And they go, there's only 300 people here. And we're going, God, man, where you been? You know, this is so, it's representative of just a lot of things. And I tell you, the common theme is that it's not to fix anything. It's just to survive it and thrive in it and last and breathe in and out longer than the bad guys. And and with the knowledge that we have, I think we can do that. There's a lot of expatriation talk, this patriotism, nationalism, pieces of paper, like Butler Schaefer's presentation. He goes, yeah, that Constitution is that piece of paper that prevents the government from doing all the stuff that it does. And
I love, you know, Butler Schaefer. He's awesome.
So it's just it the attitude here. We're really excited. My presentation was on our new battery project, but you know, I created a lab at my home in the barn that I have, and I'm growing nanotubes to facilitate a higher energy density in nickel iron batteries. And the thing is, everybody's like, "Oh, wow, this is such a cool project." And I'm going, you have to understand, it's not that is what is so important. It's the atmosphere, the idea that you can just go to your garage and Generation Next and just figure this out themselves and quit waiting on everybody else. You know, Eisenhower gave this speech and everybody equates it to this military-industrial complex thing. But if you read it, he was like, or watch it, that was just a side effect of a being ruled by a scientific technological elite of the state. And you know, going out and recruiting all the bright minds in service of the state instead of for themselves or freedom. So we need to counter that with, man, you don't need to be doing this. This is your, you know, the evil empire of. And that's already started to happen. Just in the last 6 weeks of me really pushing what I've been doing and the last two editions of the e-zine, yeah, go to freedomsphoenixezine.com and you'll see what we're doing there. And I tell you, you know, when I first saw... There's a movie, it's called Thrive, and it was a Thrive movement, and we got Foster Gamble here. I'm going to turn it over to him in just a minute.
All right.
This is a real treat for you guys, but what Foster did, he was from the Procter & Gamble family, he had some resources, and he was asking, you know, what's the truth? And as I got to know him and watched the film and interviewed him and so on, and he's written for the e-zine, what happened was, it was his son that introduced him to Austrian economics, and all of a sudden, oh, now's the time to pull the trigger and make the movie, because I get it. Before, you know, the elite family thing, you'd tell her just dysfunctional. I mean, they got this elite, arrogant mentality of we, not only can we rule you, in fact, we should as a favor to you, you know. And so as time goes on, you start to realize that, wow, not only can we take care of ourselves, we can do it a hell of a lot better. And yeah, this Thrive movement really focuses around on energy. Oh, and he should break some news. You're going to break some Kentucky news? You want to do that a little bit? Come on, give him a little. Anyway, you can ask him about it.
But all right.
The powers that be, they do not want us to be able to be independent of the grid, because, you know, then you're not dependent on them. And declaring your independence is being independent. And I'm telling you, man, this is what he is all about and what I think we should strive to be in food production and energy production and, you know, ignoring them production, because I'm telling you, it's already started, and I'm just doing everything I can to help facilitate. I'm going to put Foster on so you get a good out of him.
Thank you.
Foster Gamble from Thrive.
Yeah, your freedom.
Hi there. Foster here.
Hey, Foster. How you doing? Love your movie. I was going to have you introduce it, but Ernie did, and everyone's already seen it anyway because it's great and it's popular. How you liking Libertopia? And I'm going to link it, by the way, here on the Freedom Fiends. How you liking Libertopia? Hello?
Foster.
Hello?
Energy machine overpowered the phone.
Is he there? Is he there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Foster.
Okay, great. I guess I didn't have something in my headset.
Okay. We thought that we thought the central scrutinizer cut you off there. Okay. So I was going to say, you know, everyone's seen the movie. Everyone hasn't. And if they haven't, I'm gonna link it. Thrivemovement.com. Thrivemovement.com. And Ernie just explained the whole thing. So how are you liking Libertopia?
Ernie's the only guy I know who can explain that movie in a minute.
Well, Ernie said he was only going to talk for 4 minutes, and I'm like, that's never happened. But he talked for about five, so we got about four for you before the break here. We can have you on more after if we need to. So So how are you liking Libertopia?
So I'm having such a great time just talking with people who are really willing to think for themselves. As you probably know, it's not easy to find a lot of people like that out there in the world these days with the level of indoctrination and duping that is going on, particularly in an election season. So it was really exciting to be able to present the movie here. We had a great reception and a dynamic conversation afterward. It was the first presentation where I didn't really have to try to explain what the Liberty concept was. And it's just amazing to see all the things that people are doing in different sectors, you know, from business to science to art, but all with this fundamental understanding that it's not okay to violate anyone else except in self-defense. I mean, it seems so obvious, but it's really the punchline of the entire Thrive movie. After we reveal, you know, what's going on behind the curtain in the world of science, in the world of economics, and we follow the money in all these different sectors. But once we get down to solutions, there are, you know, there's a almost countless issues, but they're all human made, and they're all fundamentally made by this misunderstanding that some people should rule others. So for me to be in a place where so many people understand that and are doing dynamic courageous work out in the world is just an absolute thrill.
Are you a gun guy?
Well, which is what you mean. I don't like to shoot them at people unless I have to, but I am definitely in favor of people having them for self-protection, absolutely.
Do you know about this guy, Cody Wilson, who's trying to make a printable gun in Austin?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I saw the video on that one.
It's pretty awesome. He got his printer that he was leasing taken away, so we've been looking for a well-off libertarian to buy him a printer. If you wanted to do that, I think you'd get Santa would give you some special points.
Lots of good
there.
Karma.
Yeah.
Well, send me a link on that, and I'll check it out more. What Ernie was referring to before, I can't say a whole lot about it yet, but there is an inventor in Kentucky who was successful in adapting a previous technology that hadn't been quite successful in tapping free energy.
We're going into a commercial right now, but you want to stay on for after the commercial in a couple minutes?
Sure, I'll just wrap that up when you come back.
All right, here we are, Libertopia Live, Freedom Fiends, and we're talking to, you stick around, we're going to talk to Foster Gamble from the Thrive Movement right after this.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends Live here. How you doing, Nima?
Yeah. Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm great. We got Foster Gamble on. Foster Gamble made a movie.
What's up, Foster?
It's the Thrive movie.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish what I was saying before about this. I can't say a whole lot of details yet, but this is just a great example of, you know, the philosophy that we're all interested in. Ernie was mentioning the free energy, and there's an inventor in the Midwest who's had a successful device, a small device, running his home for 3.5 months. And he made three more of them, gave them to friends. They're running their homes off of these things. And he made the mistake of prematurely putting up a video of the whole thing on YouTube. The first couple of hours, he had over 800,000 hits. And a few hours later, he had the NSA in his driveway. And they're shutting him down and trying to seize all the equipment. They cut off his credit cards yesterday morning. They've got his son in custody. And it's just an example. As I'm allowed to say more, because I'm in conversation now with top-level attorneys who are good at handling this kind of injustice. And when the time is right, I'll be back in touch with you guys to help get the word out to protect this guy. he's a very courageous guy, and he said no matter what they do to him, he won't give up these other people, and he has already disseminated the information to multiple other hard drives. So if this is really the first one I've seen of these since Thrive came out. I was familiar with a number of them that had happened previously, but now we've got the internet and so many people aware of fundamental freedom issues that this could really be a catalytic case to finally get free energy out into the world. So I'll keep
Is the video still up on YouTube? Can we still check that out?
Well, no, he said that he had to take it down. I don't know whether there are other copies available or not. I'll keep you posted and let you know as soon as I hear anything on that.
And so what you're saying is this guy was running his entire house on some small device that he built?
Right. It's a successful free energy device. He adapted a previously unsuccessful one that someone else had done. He actually said he saw the Thrive movie and all of a sudden got the insight of how to tweak this device, and all of a sudden the thing was working and running his house.
Could we get, like, details on that? Like, that sounds like something everybody should have access to the information.
It's huge, but I want to get the advice of these lawyers. You know, just like he shouldn't have put it on YouTube before these devices were all over the place and he had appropriate security and legal protection and everything, I don't want to say any more specifically about it until the lawyers advise that it's the right time to do it. Okay. These guys are very experienced.
There's no way, like, somebody else could, like, post it. It seems like if we all had access to that, like, I mean, there's not enough NSA agents to come get us all, right? I mean, if everybody had that at once,
exactly,
wouldn't the problem be solved?
Well, I think so. And I'm going to make sure not to violate, you know, his plan on this, but I think that was his original intention. He just was a little naive about how quickly they would come down on him if he went public at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Gamble, I wanted to ask you something. I have a favorite podcaster of mine. His name's Ben Stone. And he's kind of got some issues with, I guess, the Thrive movement and the Thrive movie. And I was wondering if you would be okay with addressing some of those concerns of his. I know he's not here with us, but
I'd like to paraphrase him and
go ahead and ask you.
Sure.
Well, he's under the impression, I haven't seen the Thrive movie, so I'm kind of an intermediary here, and I can't really make a judgment one way or the other. But in his view, it's like the Thrive movement isn't calling necessarily for true free market or Austrian economics, but it's more of a greenbacker thing to where it's tied to wanting the Congress to run the money supply, the fiat money system, as opposed to having the Federal Reserve do it.
No, that's inaccurate. One of the punchline of the entire film is a totally free society where no one has authority over anyone else. What we do is propose a three-stage strategy. The main thing I have found lacking from Libertopia so far is that there are a lot of brilliant people who on the philosophy and a lot of brilliant people on what a free world could look like, but hardly any discussions. And I've heard no talks so far yet on real competent strategy, I mean, thorough, comprehensive strategies of how to transition from here to there. So we propose a three-stage strategy that acknowledges that as we're going toward a totally free society, we're going to be moving through minarchy on the way. And there's a lot of people who really would be in disastrous shape, you know, billions of people if the government system disappeared tomorrow. So what we're recommending is the same thing that Rothbard suggested, which is keep the goal in mind. Don't create any new violations along the way, but shrink the government down to ultimately, you know, to nothing. But in the meantime, take care of the people who are truly desperate, who've been most disenfranchised by the system, but not with new taxes, but by cutting the military budget in half and getting rid of the interest of the Federal Reserve. And I personally am not in favor of giving the money making back to Congress at all. I'm personally in favor of just a complete free market on currency immediately, because you know, we're in collapse anyway. But anyway, there's a three-stage strategy that honors some of the core ethics of both the liberal and conservative agendas, the best of that, but transcends them all.
You know, something I saw this weekend that I thought was really interesting was they were taking the space shuttle to the museum in LA, and they had a lot of photos of it and video of it on the news and on the internet. And it was like being taken like some Soviet, you know, it reminded me of like a Soviet military parade, taking it through these neighborhoods in LA, these really poor neighborhoods in LA, and all these really poor people were out like cheering, like, yay, yay, America. And I'm thinking, you're cheering the reason you're poor, you know?
Well, it's kind of ironic.
It is. Yeah. It is. I do want to. Can you tell us a little bit more about the three-step solution? Because you're right. We don't often talk about solutions. We kind of just assume that the idea is eventually everybody gets the idea. They understand the non-aggression principle. They understand how anarchy is obviously a better system than statism. Yeah. What are some of the, I guess, in the simplest, shortest form you can give us, what are the three steps?
First of all, I recommend that anybody who's interested in this go to thrivemovement.com and then go to the Solutions Hub. Because we just put this up 2 months ago, and it's got all the best tools we know to recommend, and it fundamentally is a tool to hook together groups that are working on liberty-based solutions worldwide, whether it's chemtrails or fluoride or justice systems or whatever it is, because we're very clear that what's not needed is a centralized solutions control mechanism for the world, but really the empowerment of people to do their own solutions, but to be able to link together effectively so that they can share petitions and flyers and class action lawsuits or whatever is being effective, they can all learn from each other. So we put that hub up about 2 months ago, and where there's already over 350 groups that have signed up from around the world and are now sharing best practices with each other, and it's growing fast every day. So that's an example of the kind of decentralized, unstoppable solutions movement. And the only two things that we ask of people when they sign up on this network is one, that if they are working with what we call sectors, whether it's environment, education, arts, spirituality, economics, so forth, that they use the same sector name so we can coordinate worldwide. But secondly, is that any solutions that they have do not create any new violations. And so everybody who's signing up is signing up with those two agreements, and it's growing fast. And as that kind of movement grows and links together with other movements, I really think that helps this whole thing be unstoppable.
Do you worry that working within the system, though, it's inevitable that somebody will create new violations? I mean, you can't really take hold of the government as it is now or work within the confines of the statist system without using the statists' means of doing things, being in Congress, signing petitions, voting, all things that are sort of, since they support the system, they are in part aggression because they are supporting an aggressive system.
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't ever hold my breath for the state solving the problems of the state.
Right.
In the meantime, if somebody like Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich, who actually is honest and is willing to risk their lives to shut down the Federal Reserve or stop wars of aggression and that kind of thing, I think that in my experience of a lifetime of activism, it takes all different sorts of and styles of actions to actually turn the thing around. It takes the Black Panthers and a Martin Luther King and many more. So if anybody who's involved in our network is actually creating new violations, then it will at least bring up the discussion, and we'll either alter it or ask them to not be a part of the movement that would be misrepresenting what we're up to.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive, you own yourself.
I almost want to keep you on, but I'm wondering if you'd be willing to do a full interview for us at some point. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Back here on Freedom Fiends Live from Libertopia, and we've got a special friend of the Fiends here with us now.
Last guest of the day. Save the best for last. We got Jillian from Stateless Sweets. How you doing, Jillian?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Michael?
We're frisky. What's up?
As well.
Yeah, speak a little louder if you can, or a little closer to the mic. You're a little quiet there. Have you seen any birds masturbating there today? Jillian? I think she fainted.
The Gamble guy was having problems with that too. Foster Gamble. I guess try pressing stuff. Press buttons on your earpiece. He seemed to have pressed something in, and all of a sudden it started working. Maybe it's his magic energy. His free energy came.
Are you there, Jillian?
And made it work.
Jillian, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Maybe we should just talk about Jillian until she comes back on. She's great. She runs Stateless Sweets. They make yummy stuff that I can't eat because I'm on a diet. But
but it's stateless. That's the key, right?
That's the key. Yeah. It doesn't have any state calories. Yeah. Jillian, you there?
Oh, I can kind of hear her a little bit. Jillian? Turn your volume up if you can.
Yo, yo. Yo.
Jillian.
Yo.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah. Well, I should call Drew and tell him to fix this. Yeah. So talk a little about... Jillian, and what she's been facing while I get someone on the phone to get her on here.
I'd love her to talk about it herself, but from what I know, she was driving cross-country, got harassed by Texas cops on I-10, which the I-10 corridor is pretty horrible when you get to the border checkpoints, especially near El Paso, which they have this little, you know, border checkpoint, and if they want to harass you, man, they're going to go for it. They the same cops, same county that harassed Willie Nelson. Snoop Doggy Dog, you know, nobody can outrun the grasp of these evil statists, and they caught Jillian, unfortunately, and so the fiends did a little donation drive and tried to help her out as best we could, and I'd love to know more about what's going on with it now. I think she's still
there, Jillian?
Has charges
there.
There.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
we,
hear you
we can hear you.
Yeah. Can hear me now.
Yeah. So what's going on with your the status down in Texas harassing you? Are they still harassing you?
Great question. Well, I've been calling my bail bondsman every week, just letting her know I haven't run off to, I guess, Mexico or something.
right.
But I actually
you haven't gone to a freer country yet. You're still here
not quite yet. But yeah, they haven't sent me anything in the mail yet. It said 4 to 6 months, so 4 months is coming up tomorrow.
Maybe they're really unorganized. There's some warrant I have floating around. Yeah. There's some warrant I have floating around in Texas in this small little like neighborhood police force. And I went there to like talk to them about it once, and they didn't have computers. They just had a bunch of boxes with pieces of paper with the tickets written on them. And I'm hoping that they just lost it, because like I haven't had my driver's license denied or anything like that yet. So maybe you'll get lucky, and maybe they're just that incompetent that they'll forget about you.
I'm actually thinking they're sadly just that busy. Because when I was stopped at that checkpoint, there was like three other people with California plates, that had gotten taken out of their car at the same time. So we'll see. I know Fiona Apple got stopped there a couple weeks ago too. So
oh, did she?
They're
bastards, man. Anytime I drive into Texas from the west, which I've done often, I always avoid I-10 near El Paso. I always go up to like Amarillo or something through New Mexico.
Snoop Dogg and who else got busted there? Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
On that same stretch of road, man. Yep. So how's Libertopia?
It was great. The first day we got here a little late, around noon. So it was a little slow for us, but everybody's been coming by the booth and grabbing a bunch of candy and talking. And it's really nice just having all like, the things that are going on in the main stage aren't really as exciting as just the social interactions.
That's how it always is at events. You know, it's like I don't want to hear a bunch of theorists and experts. I want to hang out with people and like build community. You know,
yeah,
I can hear you can hear the theorists online anytime. You can read their books, you know, but you can't, you know, rub up against them.
Sure.
Yep. You rubbing up against anybody there?
that's kind of personal.
Just my husband for now.
my goal is, one of my goals in life is to make Jillian blush, because I did it one time and it was great.
I can hear her blushing over the phone.
She was talking about birds masturbating, and it was kind of an accident. It was like, I wanted to test our Skype number when we first got it, and I posted it on Facebook, who's around and in front of a computer or can call me? And she said, I am. She was the first person. And I said, okay, call this number and let me. And then she called and I said, okay, I can hear you. Let me try recording this and see how it goes. And she's like, what should I do? And I'm like, I don't know, read something. And she read what was in front of her, which was something, a website about birds masturbating. And I recorded it.
Wait, birds can do that? Like,
yes.
I feel like all their means of manipulating things are very sharp. Like, they have talons and beaks. Do you really want that on your junk?
They can rub on things.
Oh, okay. How do birds masturbate, Jillian?
I don't know how well I retain that information. I think Michael is more fascinated about that than me.
Yeah,
Michael, if you were a bird, how would you masturbate?
But then a bunch of other girls on the Facebook, some people I know like Nikki and Emberly and a few other people got in on, I mentioned that, and it kind of became this thing that keeps coming up. Of like Jillian and her masturbating birds, like it's a circus act or something.
And every time I blush, yes.
You don't I might pay to see that.
You don't actually have masturbating birds, right? You just know they exist.
I don't own any birds at all. No, I own dogs.
Forget stateless sweets. It's all about the stateless beaks. let's do a masturbating bird show.
Well, tell us about stateless sweets and how people can find it and what it is.
Sure. Stateless Sweets is mainly an online agorist business right now. People can go to my website, www.statelesssweets.com. You can order from there. I have a ton of new candy coming on the menu every day. I've just been in creative mode lately.
So. What's your favorite Stateless Sweet? And describe it in very sensual detail so that we'll want to eat it.
You're talking to a married woman there. You know that, right?
Sensual, like your senses, like your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your lips, your tongue.
Okay, good,
senses,
good.
Sensual. I didn't say sexual.
I guess my favorite stateless sweet candy is probably the caramel. It sort of melts in your mouth, and it has real buttery flavors and vanilla and really just nice finish on it. It's not one of those chewy caramels where you get your teeth stuck in it. It's a nice experience.
Do you have any salted caramel? I'm a big fan of caramel with like a little sea salt on top or like some smoky salt. Do you have anything like that?
Oh yeah, I actually I made a ton of different kinds of caramels for the Dutopia. I have salted caramels. I have some caramels that I called Friedemo salted almond caramels when you
nice.
And then I have chocolate caramels that I just came up with recently. It's just basically like a Tootsie Roll. But, you know, better. My son's favorite thing on my menu currently. So. Okay.
You should have other candies that are named after people in the Liberty Movement.
I'm trying to do that. People got to give me ideas of who to do that after. So feel free if you have anybody in mind to message me.
You could have a Michael Dean smoked salmon candy.
I think you should have a Cody Wilson printable sugar gun.
There you go.
And you know, you do for the next indeterminate period of time, if someone orders something from Stateless Sweets, they will get some free Freedom Fiends buttons with the order, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Have a Stefan Molyneux karate belt, gummy karate belt.
Gummy karate belt. Yeah. How about you wouldn't like anything with Adam, would you? The other Adam.
Kokesh?
Oh, no, not really. Well, I'm
Adam Coconut. The Adam Coconut.
Adam Coconut Macaroon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. I'm just going to go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a sweet girl. We'll just, stateless sweets. Sweet girl.
Stateless sweets.
We'll stateless sweet girls. Yeah. Yeah.
Score. Well, we're coming up pretty close to the end here. Do you want to wrap it up? Do you have any final thoughts on sweets or chocolate or the state or liberty?
towards the end of my day here at Libertopia. No, it's just wonderful seeing the bunch of people in the community come together and different ideas of everything that's interesting. Everybody coming together and having actual debates about basically the same thing. But it's pretty fun. Thank you for having me on the show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Keep doing what
you do. Thanks for being had. It's excellent.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Worms.
Okay. Peace.
Well, that is the live Libertopia Freedom Fiends. That's pretty good, huh, Nima?
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it. I was kind of worried. We're always complaining about shows where there's too many people on, but it was nice broken up into little sections and little pieces. It was like doing a bunch of Anarchy Gumbos, like short little bite-sized Anarchy Gumbos at once. It was fun.
I'd love to do this from, remotely for Porkfest, but they don't have good internet there. That's one small advantage of doing something in Southern California. You know, you got the internets there.
We'll figure something out, but we got to go. Peace.
Yeah. Not that rural, but rural, with ball. Ruralism rural comes juror. Freedom. Rural juror.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.